In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. You know, about 2 weeks ago, I needed my cordless drill. And I charged it, but it still refused to work. So I had to buy another cordless drill. And I bought this one, and I opened it. Let me see. And do you know what I noticed? Besides the drill, come closer to see my drill. So I got a drill, and the charger, and two batteries. Works very well. You like it? You wanna try it? You wanna try it? Bennett wants to try it, I was sure. Okay, sounds good, yeah? Okay. So it works very well, does it? Now, do I want it to work well for many years?
Yes.
Okay. That's why they put in here this booklet. This booklet came together with a drill. What do you think that I have in this booklet?
How to use it so it will work for a long time.
How to use it so that it would work for a long time. It would work very well for a long time. Lots of rules in this booklet. What do you think? What do I have to do to keep this tool working well? Don't drop it in water. What else? Put it away every time you use it, maybe even clean it, yeah, before I put it away?
Don't use it for things you don't need to use.
Yes, don't use it for what it's not supposed to be used for, yeah? Don't use it in the kitchen. It's not for the kitchen, it's for the workshop.
Put batteries in it every time it runs out.
Yes, you have to charge the batteries, and you have to follow the rules for charging the batteries, because otherwise, you know, they are not going to hold power.
Don't drop it.
Okay. And, you know, many other rules in this booklet, like safety rules, electrical safety rules, personal safety, power tool use and care. So they tell me everything that I should do if I want to use that drill for many years. Now, what do you, I'm telling you about this today because in today's gospel we heard our Lord Jesus Christ reminding that man who came to him and who asked him, what should I do to have a long and eternal life? And the Lord reminded him of some of the rules that God gave to us. Because like this drill, we have a maker. That drill has a maker. Is that right? Somebody made that drill, and the person or the company who made the drill, the people who designed the drill and who made the drill, they also wrote a book, how to use the drill. The same way, somebody created us. Who created us? God created us. And he gave us a booklet, owner's manual, to tell us, you know, how to use ourselves, how to do with ourselves if we want to be working well for a long time, like this drill. That's why God gave us the Bible, to tell us about us, who we are, and what we are supposed to do and what we are supposed not to do if we want to have a long, meaningful life. What do you want to say?
Well, you know, like, God made rules. Make rules for the drill.
Exactly, exactly. Now, do we like rules? Do we like rules? Nobody really likes rules.
Sometimes
if they're nice rules. If they're easy to follow. If they're hard to follow.
Like, you know where it has, in the playground, they say, like, don't tackle kids or don't scratch them. At the end, they say, have fun. People always like that rule.
Yes. But even when it's about having fun, we still have to follow some rules. Because what happens if we don't follow rules, even when we have fun? What happens?
A lot of people, we might get hurt or something.
you may get hurt.
Game over.
Game over. If you don't follow rules, the game is over and then nobody has fun.
If you don't follow the rules, you could really get hurt. And like, if you're playing on the monkey bars and doing like flips over and over again, you can't actually play.
Exactly. You know, you could hurt yourself if you don't follow the rules when you play.
You could hurt someone else.
You could hurt someone else. And you could hurt someone else. So can you see? That's why we have rules in life. Even in the Bible, you know, sometimes, you know, people don't like the Bible because the Bible tells us about, you know, I like to call them guidelines. Because, you know, what do you think? Is the producing company of this tool, do they really care if I follow the rules or not? They don't. If I don't follow the rules, exactly, I have to buy another one. And in fact, you know, they want me to buy another one if I don't follow the rules. So who would have to suffer?
You.
Exactly. I would suffer. Now, with God, it's different. God wants us to have a happy life. God doesn't want, you know, to make another one. Oh, you know, I'll just make another human being. He doesn't want that. He wants all of us to have a beautiful, long, meaningful life. But who suffers a lot if we don't follow the guidelines that God gave us in the Bible? We suffer.
And also Jesus gets sad.
Yes. And God becomes sad because he suffers with us when we suffer. So, you know, try to think about rules as guidelines for a beautiful, meaningful life. Sometimes I know very well, it's not easy to follow rules. But if we don't follow the rules, we will suffer. If we do follow the rules, if we follow the guidelines, we have a long, beautiful, meaningful life in communion, in love, with all the people around us and with the creation of God around us. Do you want that? Okay, that's what I also want for my drill. To use it for many years and to build a church with it. How is that? Good? Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Joe, could you please tell my drill, take my drill away? Okay. Yes. And the rules. Christ is among us. Yes, God gave us some rules, some guidelines for a beautiful, meaningful life. And we do the same thing with our children. We teach our children from a very young age we give them some guidelines, and we expect them to obey the guidelines we give them, but we also hope that one day they will grow and they will have initiative and they will love us, they will get into communion with us out of love, not because they follow rules and regulations. And that's what also God wants for us. Our Heavenly Father gave us some rules and regulations, some guidelines to keep us safe. But He wants us to grow and to start loving Him because we are grown-up people. We are grown-up children of God who know to love, who are beyond rules and regulations. We saw that young man in today's gospel approaching our Lord Jesus Christ and asking him what he should do to have eternal life. He was a religious person. And like any religious person, he was very concerned with himself and his own salvation. And like most religious people, he became a minimalist. What's the minimum that I have to do to inherit eternal life? And that's what happens so many times, you know, in our lives. Tell me what's the minimum that I have to do so that I will make it to heaven. Is that loving? I'm asking you. Is that loving? No. Of course it's not. You know, I go to church to fulfill my religious duty. Forget about it. If we go to church to fulfill our religious duty, we miss the point. God is love. And beyond anything we know about love, and He wants us to love Him. Yes, as I told you, He gave us, you know, some guidelines to keep us alive. But then when He came in person, He revealed to us that He wants to have a personal, loving relationship with us. He doesn't want us to be minimalists, and so many times our Lord Jesus Christ preached against this. Against being religious, and especially being a religious minimalist. How many times a year do I have to receive communion? How many times a year do I have to get confession? How many times a day do I have to pray? How should I fast? But you know, could I have this? Could I have that? What's the minimum that I could do? God doesn't want us to do the minimum so that we could be saved. First of all, we don't save ourselves. St. Paul is very clear today in today's epistle reading in the letter to Ephesians when he says, you are not saved by your own works. You are not saved by the works of the law of the Old Testament, or even the law of the New Testament. We are saved by God's grace, through faith, for good works. The good works are important. Don't get me wrong. Because the last judgment will be the judgment of the loving works, or of the works of love. But the works of love are the fruit of the grace of God, first of all, our faith in Him, and our working together with Him. So many times, you know, we focus on the works. The works are just the fruit. They come out of grace and faith, and the working together between God and us. Therefore, beloved faithful, let us ask ourselves today, am I a religious person? Am I a religious minimalist? Or am I a loving child of God? In my relationship with God, do I do everything just because I want to fulfill my religious duty? Or because I love God and I want to become one with Him? It is very interesting that in the Gospel of Matthew, when Matthew wrote about the same meeting between the Lord and that young man, Matthew added something in his Gospel, that the Lord would have said to the young man, if you want to be perfect, then sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Luke doesn't say that in his Gospel, but Matthew says that the Lord would have said to the young man, we have told the young man, if you want to be perfect. Now, the Greek word for perfect is teleos. Teleos means to be perfect, complete in all parts, full grown, of full age, especially of the completeness of Christian character. According to Strong's Concordance, the Strong Dictionary, this is the definition of this teleos, to be perfect, complete in all parts, full grown, of full age, especially of the completeness of Christian character. When I read this yesterday, especially teleios, when I read teleios, I remembered the last words of the Lord on the cross. Tetelestai. It is accomplished. I've done it all. There is nothing else I can do. God wants us to become like His only begotten Son. He wants us to become fully grown, not to be religious minimalists. He wants us to be fully grown, to be complete with nothing lacking. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, he told his disciples, be perfect, the same word, teleios, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. God wants us to work together with Him, to offer ourselves to Him, to become complete with nothing lacking. That is the goal of our life. That is the goal of our Christian life. That is the goal of our human existence. I should also add that in this process of becoming complete with nothing lacking, becoming like God, we should not ask ourselves, what should I do? Like the man in today's gospel. Because then once again, we'll become like ourselves, we won't become like God. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And this transformation into the likeness of God is produced in us by God. The only thing we can do is to offer ourselves to Him, to say, here I am, like the prophets of the Old Testament, like any holy person, to give an answer, here I am, transform me, as you know that I have to be transformed to become your likeness. Therefore, beloved faithful, as St. Paul says in the letter to Ephesians again, let us offer ourselves to God. Let us work together with Him till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.